Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Advent begins in the dark, as Fleming Rutledge likes to say. But then week by week, we see the light compound with the candles. And then as that light stacks up, I wonder if you noticed that the questions from our readings do too. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Says John the Baptist to the Pharisees, quite an opener. Are you really the coming one? Says the same John to Jesus from prison. And maybe we wonder too. Well, what did you come out to see then? Says Jesus to the crowds, to us. There's no question in today's readings exactly, but they all do culminate, all these questions culminate in one simple and inescapable question that underlies what we hear. What does Jesus mean? Jesus, the name, the person, the coming. What does Jesus mean? What does his coming mean for you, for me, for us? Well, Rowan Williams' poem, Advent Calendar, says that it means winter cataclysm. Did you catch this? He will come like the last leaf of fall, like frost, like dark, like a November wind stripping things bare, like the world caught in a net of frozen crystal, like the December sun dying, like the world coming to a violent, beautiful end. William's imagery is deliberately apocalyptic. He's conjuring up the second coming of Christ, the great day of the Lord where there's nowhere left to run or hide. He will come, says William's last stanza. Will come like crying in the night, like blood, like breaking as the earth writhes to toss him free. And then he pulls the rug out from underneath you with that last line. He will come like child. Wait, which Advent are we talking about? Right? Last week when Ann Jervis preached, she asked all of us who are tired of things not being clear, sorted, set to rights, do you expect Jesus' second coming to be different, unlike his first? Williams, in a way, pulls us into the same room through the door on the other side. Did you think the first coming of Jesus was anything less than apocalyptic? Because a child, his point is eruptive, disruptive. We know this. Babies bend reality around them. Space contracts, rooms need to be changed over, furniture needs reshuffling. Time splits, nights are interrupted, the days are warped to suit the appetite. They displace the best laid plans, they clog up social media feeds, they make formerly sensible, good conversationalist parents insufferable at dinner parties. And they take adult hearts around them captive and refuse to give those hearts back. Forget baby as a synonym for weak. Nothing is as beguiling, powerful, irresistible. Nothing is as coercive as a baby, as a child. He will come like a child. He came like child. And Joseph knows. Right? The drama that we hear today is familiar to all of us, but step inside it with me again for a moment. In a place that's nowhere special, a man who's no one special's been engaged. He's promised to a girl named Mary, she to him, And life, it seems for them, has a shot at actually moving in a straight line. That blessed math that we all hope for of moderately wise choices that add up to food on the table, shelter when it rains, a family that looks roughly like other families, I guess, ordinary love and losses that you accumulate in good proportion, something through it all built together by the two of them that they can take pride in as they look back. And then Mary is ambushed by an angel and singled out for a choice. And quite apart from Joseph, she says yes. It is a yes in which Joseph is involved but had no part. It's maybe a yes he doesn't understand or believe. The thing is that for him, none of his math works anymore. The best he can do in the situation, he thinks, is factor in mercy and break the thing off quietly. And that's exactly what he intends to do until he gets a visit. Not the in-person angelic visit that Mary got, but like a dream. So like the angelic equivalent of a Zoom call. And Joseph, whose job as a man was to choose and make happen, is told that the choice has been made for him. He is put in the passenger seat of his own life. The poet W.H. Auden, in his long, sprawling Advent Christmas oratorio for the time being, has the angel tell Joseph that it's been given to him to reverse redemptively the problem with typical masculinity. Today, the roles are altered. You must be the weaker sex whose passion is passivity. And it's not the only reversal Joseph experiences. His name in Hebrew means addition. But the whole point of this is that he is subtracted. The coming of Mary's child, in which he was not consulted, denies him reputation, honor, biological connection, and fatherhood, which he might have hoped for, the world he knew for, the future he hoped for. He's even subtracted from the choice of the baby's name, which is to say, he doesn't get to say what this baby means. Joseph must decrease. But as he becomes less of an agent, doesn't he receive something more than he'd ever have asked or imagined? The angel tells him, "You, Joseph, shall call the child's name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." There you have it. Jesus saves. Do you think you are safe from hearing that in an Anglican church? Maybe like me, you've cringed or laughed a little bit to see that on a placard or a bumper sticker or a billboard. And the words are funny, I think, but not for the reason we usually think in our high-mindedness. They're funny because they're what logicians call a tautology. Jesus, Yeshua, means the Lord saves. It means Israel's God rescues. Jesus doesn't save, he is saves. He is salvation. And yes, Jesus will be wisdom and comfort and justice, but that is not what his name means. His name is rescue. His name is salvage. His name is escape. For whom? For his people, says the angel, not for those out there, the godless and unwashed. For the spiritually inclined, the church-going, the would-be faithful. From what? Their enemies, their hardships? No, something more serious. From their sins. From their sins. From their hearts bending in on themselves, their well-meaning choices that add up and compound through the years into systemic injustice. From their petty power plays. From their failures of love, from their half-buried secrets, from their every no to God that has managed to warp the social and psychic fabric of their lives and the lives of those near them until God isn't even in view. He will save his people from their sins. What do you want to be rescued from? But how will he do this? All this happened, says Matthew the storyteller, in a hint, in a riddle, so that what was said by the Lord through the prophet might be filled up full. Look, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Which means God is with us. That's what's filled full. We've got two names going on here. You will call his name Jesus because the prophet said he would be Emmanuel. You see, Jesus doesn't mean rescue from being human. From the tedium of ordinary struggle into a kind of effortless existence, an existence optimized for productivity and efficiency. He isn't freedom from bodily limits. He isn't transcendence from suffering. He is rescue because he is God come precisely into the middle of just our unoptimized, limited, suffering, and precious lives. The God who comes to share our beginnings and our ends and all of the middles that bore us and pain us. This child will be God come close enough to bend all of our realities around him, to bend us to him, to seize us and take us to himself and give us himself utterly in return. He comes to save us from our sins with the coercive power of a child who demands our hearts and insists that we move all the furniture around and that we reorder our time and even show up here on Sundays when we can and makes us insufferably sentimental when we hear old hymns at a dinner party on the playlist, who forces us to beat our swords into plowshares, who demands that we judge with equity, that we strengthen the weak knees and lift up the limp hands, who demands that we watch as his reign makes our deserts flourish with flowers, and who drags from our lips a yes to the subtracting math of his fullness that overwhelms us, that displaces us from our own lives, that begins our worlds again by ending the worlds we'd imagined for ourselves. Because it's not just Mary and Joseph. Unto us, a child is born. He will come like a child. Amen.